93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tider Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Gary Harris Show for this Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. As always, I got my main man, Chase Brumfield, right alongside, manning the controls, taking your phone calls on the Storage Center hotline at 205-342-9904. It's another beautiful day. As I've said, it's gorgeous. I get it. The weather is absolutely beautiful. We haven't even sniffed a shower for a while. But having dealt with these allergies, I'm ready for a change. I'm not going to lie to you. It's mid-September. I wouldn't mind seeing some moisture come in here and these temperatures drop a little bit. I'm just speaking for me. I mean, I get that it's beautiful and all, but it is it's hot every afternoon out there now. I'm going to tell you. So we had that little, I guess they call it fake fall in late August and a couple days in early September, where you remember the days, Chase, we woke up and it was a little bit chilly outside, but those days have gone. But it is pretty now. I get that. It's beautiful out there. Just wish it was a little cooler, and I wouldn't mind having a little moisture just to, you know, knock out the ragweed and some of the stuff that we're dealing with. But anyway, beautiful day. Great day to be here at Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC for the Gary Harris Show. We got a good show on tap. A lot of guests today, a lot of interaction that we're going to get to, and we'll tell you all about that. First, though, I need to let you know, as always, this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by my good friends at Alabama Credit Union. You know, Alabama Credit Union has a mission to enhance the lives of their members and team members, strengthen the community, and live shared values. That's who we are. A history of commitment to the community. Alabama Credit Union has been doing that and ensures you that you'll feel good about your money. That's special. That's something that was built into this credit union when it was founded in 1956 by people who wanted a cooperative approach to banking. Alabama Credit Union remains a people-driven organization that exists to serve its members, support its team members and their families, and enhance the communities we serve. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership to join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right, here's the lineup for today. Matt Coulter on NASCAR at 9:30. We are going to talk with our friend Brody Smoot coming up at 10 o'clock this morning from Crimson Coverage, Bama football and basketball at 10. And then at 10:30, Larry the Music Man, as we said yesterday, Larry wants your top five R&B and soul male singers from the 70s. Could be in a band, could be solo. So we're going to get into that genre of music, and that should be a lot of fun as well. So remember, Larry the Music Man at 10:30, be thinking about your, and if you don't have five, you know, he said five, but if you come up with three or four, or you just say, hey, this guy was so good that he's my one and only, however many you have, really, but as many as five. But top R&B and soul singers, male singers from the 70s will be our topic today on the Larry the Music Man segment. So good show on tap, and a lot to cover this morning here on the program. All right, since it is a bye week, I have been asked about the plan for Alabama football. They were off for a couple of days, so I think that's a good thing. They go back to work today, and I think probably had an opportunity to clear their head. And I've also been asked, Chase, about, what do you think about a bye after only 3 weeks? I like it. Again, it's a different time. And you play 12 regular season games. You know, when Coach Bryant got to Alabama, you played 10. Then they went to 11. And if you didn't go to a bowl, you didn't play anymore. But the maximum extra game that you could play was one game. Now you play 12. If you go to the SEC championship game, you play a 13th game. if you go to the SEC championship game, you're probably going to the playoff. And there's a chance that you could play as many as 17 games. So to have a bye early here and then have the second bye for a 12-week season, I think it's good. I think it's needed. So here's the way it breaks down for Alabama. You have this bye, then you play five straight weeks, and then you have the other bye before you go into the LSU game. So you play three bye, five bye, and then four to finish out the season. And then if you play in Atlanta in the SEC championship game, you would play the next week too. So it's broken up 3-5-4. I think it's perfect. And with Georgia having a bye, I think it would be a really big disadvantage for Alabama to have to go to Athens next week coming off a game if Georgia has the bye. So I think it works out well for both of them to have their bye. So I think it's coming at a good time. And I don't know about you, Chase, but I'll get your input here. I know I don't ask for it as often as Christian and Wyatt do, but I'm going to get your input because you're also a fan. You know, you wait so long for football season, and then you play just three games, and you get a break. But I sense that most people feel like, because it was such a stressful start to the season with what happened in Tallahassee, then you come back for home games. I even think the fans are like, that's okay to have a break this weekend. We still have great games, Auburn, Oklahoma, plenty of football to watch if we want to, but it's still warm enough to get outside, get to the lake. So I think that most people are pretty happy that there's three games and that there's already a bye. I don't sense any negativity toward it at all. Do you?
No, not at all, Gary. I've spoken to people off air, like especially our callers and stuff like that, and they're kind of thankful that they can kind of just get away from Alabama football and kind of rest a little bit, especially with how Florida State was and how stressful that was.
Yeah.
So it's nice, especially with Georgia coming up and how pivotal that game will be for the Crimson Tide. So I haven't heard anybody complaining about it. I'm not complaining about it because it's nice to see other teams and put more focus on that, especially when we play like, you know, Auburn and Georgia and LSU and Oklahoma and Missouri. We get to put more focus on that instead of like, okay, well, we have this game up coming up. We have to focus on that game solely. So I like it. Hopefully they keep it moving forward, but it's beneficial for teams like Alabama.
You said a key word there, pivotal. That is so true about this game. Listen, it'll only be the fourth game of the year, but this is where we're at. That loss at Florida State really narrows the margin of error for Alabama way down. Now, follow me here. It was a non-conference game, but it's still a loss. So you go to Georgia and you win, buddy, you're riding a wave of momentum that you're 3-1. You're 1-0 in the SEC. And I'll just say this. It doesn't take it off your record, but it kind of wipes that Florida State game out a little bit. That's the positive side. The flip side, you go to Georgia and you lose, and look at the reality of what you're staring in the face. You're 2-2. You're 0-1 in the league. With eight games remaining, seven of them in the SEC. Now, that doesn't mean you couldn't come back and win them all. And that doesn't mean that if you win seven of those eight, that you might get in the playoff with three losses. But what it does mean is that you're walking a tightrope from there on out. If you're 2-2 after four games and 0-1 in the league, I mean, you have got to play some serious football the rest of the season. You win this game, yeah, you do have another mulligan. There's no doubt in my mind. If you win this game, that you got a win already over Georgia, that you can drop an SEC game. Absolutely. And not only get in the playoff, maybe still get to Atlanta. But if you lose this game, the season is so dramatically different based on this result a week from Saturday night. Season's not over either way. I understand that. Just because you win the game, it doesn't guarantee you anything either. Now, you beat Georgia and you come back the next week and lose at home to Vanderbilt? You know, like what happened last year? It could cancel right out. But this is a pivotal game. Chase said the key word. I like that word. Pivotal for where Alabama is at in this 2025 football season. All right, one other thing I want to do before we just really dive full speed into the show is correct some misinformation that I put out yesterday because I was confused. And but I want to make sure that and I'm still not 100% sure. But what I have been told, and I know listeners want to know for sure, when it comes to listening to Alabama football on the Tide 109 app, I said yesterday that it's available over the air but not on the app. I have been told that it is available on the app and on the stream, but that we had a technical issue. So, and I've been told now by some listeners, they said, I've been listening to the app, the games on the app for years. So what my understanding is now, and I'll double check it again, is that Alabama football is not only available on Tide 109 FM and 1230 AM WTBC as well as 95.3 The Bear, but also on the Tide 109 app and the live stream, and that we had a technical issue this past Saturday. So those were, you know, a number of people that tuned in and couldn't hear it. So that's my understanding now. And if I get to... Again, people are saying, well, why wouldn't you know? Well, you know, I do my show, but I don't work at Tide full time. I don't have anything to do with the programming and things like that. So I just have to go based on what I'm told. But I'm trying to get all that cleared up, and I certainly want to give out the proper information. So, but that's the word. That's what you were told yesterday too, right, Chase?
Correct. Correct, Gary.
So it is available on the app and on the stream, but we had a technical issue this past Saturday. Hopefully that will be cleared up and you can hear Alabama football. Now you won't hear it this Saturday, okay? Because there is no game. So let's be clear on that. All right, it's 15 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. The Gary Harris Show is off and running. We'd love to hear from you. Phone callers are welcome in the next segment. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline. We've got Matt Coulter on NASCAR at 9:30, Brody Smoot on Bama football and basketball and recruiting at 10. And Larry the Music Man at 10:30. We're going to take your phone calls from Larry, and we're going to run down our list of our favorite male R&B and soul singers. And there's some really talented vocalists in that group that we're going to discuss this morning at 10:30. So get those phone calls ringing. We want to hear from you. In addition to Alabama being on bye, we got some big games, though, coming up this weekend. I'm going to run those down for you, including the Jackson Arnold Bowl with Jackson Arnold, the Auburn quarterback, going back to Oklahoma, where he once was the Oklahoma quarterback for that game. And also, Dabo Swinney, yesterday at his press conference, woo, when Dabo gets on a roll, he can go, can he? We've got Dabo's audio yesterday basically saying, calling out his school and saying, you know what, if you're not happy with me, you can send me on down the road. And I'll go coach somebody else. If you're tired of winning, then you know what? Then maybe you don't want me because all I do is win. Dabo Swinney with some strong comments yesterday at his press conference. We'll have those for you on the other side of the break. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Wednesday morning. October the 14th is the date set for a hearing on the $59 million lawsuit filed against the citizens of Northport by developers of that controversial University Beach Resort. The legal action asked Tuscaloosa Circuit Court to verify the legality of the special assessment revenue bonds approved by the special district to finance infrastructure. Membership of that special district board is comprised of non-Northport citizens. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and
Generators. True South Generators. 205-609-2642.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big-screen, high-definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and outside on the beautiful patio. Come by and say hello to Kim and Lisa, the Billy's management dream team. Billy's, good food, good friends, and good time.
95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC are partnering with Baumhauer's Victory Grill this season to put you in the best seats in the house at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Sign up online at 95.3thebear.com, on the app, or the Tide 100.9 app. Each week, we'll pick a winner for a pair of tickets to an Alabama home football game. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, with two locations in Tuscaloosa, Harper Lee Drive and Baumhauer South on Courtney Drive. Let Baumhauer's Victory Grill put you in the best seats in the house. With 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of The Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
All right, 9:22. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. Did you see this? Florida Associate Head Football Coach and Running Backs Coach Jabbar Jalouk was suspended for 3 games for his involvement in an altercation before the Gators game at LSU on Saturday. SEC and Florida jointly announced that on Tuesday. Chase, that was game was chippy the whole game. There was incidents in game. I didn't realize they'd even had a pregame incident, but Jalouk will miss Florida's next 3 games, and these are big ones. Now, remember, he's also the associate head coach, not just the running backs coach. But they're at number 4 Miami, at home against number 8 Texas, and at number 10 Texas A&M. That's 3 big games not to have your running backs coach and your associate head coach. Jalouk, a native of New Orleans, released a statement through the office with the standard apology, and he let his emotions get the best of him and all that stuff. But, wow, if it's not already going bad enough for Florida, add that on top of it. Speaking of going bad, it's not going great at Clemson. And this is a team that a lot of people pegged as a national championship contender, and their quarterback is a Heisman Trophy favorite, and they got 2 losses. Hey, listen, they're still going to play the rest of their games. But you know one thing about Dabo Swinney? He's built up some equity, and he came out swinging at his press conference yesterday to address some rumblings that the fans aren't happy and that maybe he's lost a step. He talked for a long time, but this is the gist of what he had to say. The former Alabama and Pelham High School wide receiver saying, listen, Clemson don't want me. I'll go somewhere else. Listen to this from Dabo on Monday.
What's so bad about our program? What's so bad about it? Like, what's so bad about the worst season that we've had 14 years, how many programs in college football would sign up for one, and only once, 14 years of 9 wins. How many programs would sign up for that? And the playoffs, we all talk about, we've been 7 times in 10 years. Who can say that? If we stink because we haven't played for the national championship since January of 20, well, I guess we stink. Or we haven't won it since January of 19. We haven't won the national championship. Well, then I guess we stink. But why are we held to a different standard from all these other teams out there who ain't ever won nothing? We're not perfect. And we may suck this year. We may lay a freaking egg and go 6-6. But I don't think so. And I know that's going to disappoint a lot of people. But I don't think so. I know it's bad because I get in all the text messages, I'm praying for you, everybody's sending me devotions, and you're going to get through this. And, you know, that's when I know it's bad. That's how I feel it, because I don't read it. I don't. I know people say that. I promise you I don't. When it's bad, I don't read nothing. This ain't the worst thing that's happened to me in my life, and it won't be. And it won't be for these players. It's a bad moment. you know, because we take pride in what we do and we're competitive. But this ain't the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, is criticism and all that. And listen, I get it, and it's warranted because people care, and I love being at a program that people care, and it matters. That doesn't bother me. I get all that. I spent 13 years at Alabama, so I had thick skin when I showed up here at Clemson. If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way, because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good? I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now, take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. And hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they can send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while. I got a long way to go. I'm just getting going. I'm just now good enough to be a head coach. I'm just now figuring it out. So we'll be around a while. Let's hang in there.
All right. Dabo, I mean, listen, man. One thing about Dabo, he wears his heart on his sleeve. He tells you what he's thinking. And you know, he's built up, as I said, he's got a lot of equity at that program. He has won 2 national championships. He's played for 2 more. He's won 8 of the last 10 ACC championships. Been to 7 of the last 10 playoffs. So he hears the criticism. He's stung by it a little bit. He came out swinging yesterday. Let's get a phone call in before we have to get to the break. Let's go. Is this Austin in Texas or going to Austin, Texas? Going to Austin out in Texas. Hey, Austin.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, this is Austin. I'm from Houston, Texas.
Hey, Austin in Houston. Hey, man. Well, you got it covered. You got your Texas, you got your cities covered, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, I'm from Alabama. I just moved down to Texas about 5 years ago. And, man, it's different people down here.
What's going on?
So I had a comment about the Dabo Swinney thing. You know, okay. I thought it was pretty interesting on the NCAA college football game, the newest one that come out. Now, if you're playing the dynasty mode, and say the first year you didn't win a national championship, I noticed that DeBoer is not on that game. They got Sweeney as the head coach after that. And I thought that was a little interesting that no one else has made that point about that in any of social media that I've seen or on any of the phone calls that I've heard. So I just thought that was a pretty interesting point that the video games got Dabo Sweeney at Alabama in a few years. We'll just have to see what happens.
Chase, you're a gamer. Did you know that?
That is news to me. I'll definitely ask Wyatt about that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, Austin, I'm not a gamer, but that's so they've got Dabo as the Alabama coach?
Yes, sir. On the Dynasty program, like I said, I made a player on there in the first year. I was sitting behind Ty Simpson, and we lost the national championship. And then my sophomore year, they put me in as quarterback. And then Dabo Sweeney took over as the head coach. And I never once had a clip of Kalen DeBoer on there talking to my player. It was just Dabo Sweeney, and I thought that was very interesting.
That is interesting. I had no idea. Wow. Well, maybe it's a prelude to something that's going to come down the road. I don't know, but very interesting.
I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. I'm not a Clemson fan, but Dabo's a good guy, and like you said, he definitely wears his heart on his sleeve, and he's not afraid to tell you what he thinks, and sometimes that's what Alabama needs. So,
yeah, that's for sure.
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, Austin, thank you. Interesting call. Call back anytime, man, out there in Tabama fan. Thanks. Out there in Houston, Texas. We'd love to hear from you again. All right, it's 9:29 here on the Gary Harris Show. A reminder, T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery, University Mall. Provides us with our gifts every Friday when we do the Bama football trivia giveaway during football season. We won't do it this week because there's no game, but we'll start back for the Georgia game and also get by and get that $99 suit. It's Tom's just got it going on for as long as he wants to keep it going on. Response has been great. People love the opportunity to walk in there and get a full suit for $99. So check it out, T-Town Menswear, T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. We'll be back with Matt Coulter on NASCAR next here on the Gary Harris Show.
Contact Courtney Watt at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com, North River Timber Company.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let it fly and
it. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
I'm feeling better, but still a little bit of this allergy dust up bites me every now and then. 9:33, welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And yeah, I do have a lozenge in right now, trying to settle my scratchy throat down a little bit. Good morning, Matt Coulter. It's time to talk some NASCAR.
Hey, Gary, I feel better.
Yeah, I feel a lot better. I'm still just a little bit. It takes me some time. By the afternoon, I'm usually good. But in the mornings, for some reason, I still have a little bit of congestion. But, wow, we had quite a race. The Saturday night race at Bristol, Bass Pro Shops night race, college football everywhere. But, boy, this race stood out. And outstanding entertainment. A lot of drama, and Christopher Bell continues the Joe Gibbs Racing dominance in the playoffs so far with a victory to move on to the round of 12.
Yeah, great race, but I have to admit to something, I'll bet you will too. It was difficult to watch that race with all the other SEC games going on.
A lot of channel surfing, yep.
I wore my thumb out, but I like the race, you know, the Bristol at night, that this little bitty oval is just such a great attraction. And it didn't disappoint. Done never was. But I have noticed something in the last couple of weeks, Gary. We cannot pick a one person out of a phone book. Our guys are finishing 30th and 25th, and I'm really jinxing them in the playoffs.
Well, but you have picked, what is it, eight winners so far?
Yeah.
So you got. I was talking about Dabo Swinney having some equity at Clemson. You got some equity here in our NASCAR picks.
I think I finally do have equity enough to, you know, go on to the finish line. But still, Bristol is the playoffs, and it's all good. It's NASCAR.
That race was up for grabs, and that last restart, Christopher Bell really did the job. And then at the end, our guy Brad Keselowski, who has not won a race in, it seems like, forever, got to the bumper, and he squared him up.
Yeah,
I mean, he did, you know, he did it the right way. He didn't hook him or put him in the wall, but he squared him up, and Christopher Bell held on. You got to give Bell credit.
Yeah, he did.
And I was surprised in the post-race interview. These guys, as good as they are at these NASCAR reporters, to not even ask Bell about Keselowski putting the bumper to him, I thought that was disappointing. I wanted to know his reaction because it was good racing, but Keselowski, you know, intended to, hey, if he can't hold it here and he swerves, because then I'm going to win the race. And he was never even asked about that. I was very disappointed in that, Matt.
Well, it's a great point, and I hadn't really thought about it. But Keselowski, you and I like that guy. I was kind of pulling for him. But you're right in describing the way he tapped and tried to get Bell out of the way. Wouldn't you say 12, 15 years ago, Brad K would have hooked him?
Yeah, he'd have just sent him up the track. But
I mean, we've seen him do it at Talladega. That's how he got his first rim. We had him just to hook the crap out of Carl Edwards. But like I said, you described it accurately, and I think it's to Bell's credit that he held him off.
He did. He ran a terrific end of the race, and that's why he got the victory. So we cut it down from 16 to 12. And now we've got two races, and I guess it's actually three races before we go to the round of eight. But we move on to New Hampshire, and yep. you've got to give us the track report here.
You know, this is a very interesting track. First of all, it's flat. The banking and the curves are like 3 or 4 degrees, and the straightaway is only 1 degree. Very flat. It's only a little, just a touch over 1 mile. It's asphalt. And the winningest driver, I found this interesting. The winningest driver at New Hampshire, Loudoun, New Hampshire, by the way, is Jeff Burton with 4.
Wow.
Would you have thought immediately Jeff Burton?
No.
I wouldn't have.
I wouldn't have either.
But It's one of those tracks where when I was looking it up this morning, as you would expect, flat track like Phoenix, Kevin Harvick has also won a bunch of races there. But I like the track. We're going to see how it goes.
Well, it is your week to pick first, and I'm still looking at some of the top drivers here based on history. I'm looking at the odds, but you have the first pick, so you get to kind of dip in and grab whoever you want.
It doesn't really matter. You won at Bristol last Saturday night, but I'm going to take Christopher Bell. If you've looked over the last three races, he has 2 wins and 1 second. And it's not very likely that somebody will win back-to-back any time during the season, but especially during the playoffs. But only guy I can remember did it last year, your guy Logano. But I'm going to take Christopher Bell. And as long as you're looking at the odds,
Who is the
odds on
favorite? Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell followed by Hamlin, Blaney, Larson, Briscoe, Logano, and Byron. Those are your top seven. And there's no doubt that you've taken Bell without even knowing he was the favorite. And I'm going to pick from that list as well. I've had no luck with Denny Hamlin. When I've picked him, he's finished in the back of the pack. And when I haven't picked him, he's won the race. So I'm probably guaranteeing a Denny Hamlin victory here by not picking him. But I'm going to play a hunch here. You're getting up into the northeast part of the country. He's hungry for a win. I'm going to go with Logano. I'm going to take the 22. Just gut feeling. Really no scientific evidence. Has he won at New Hampshire before? I don't even know.
You know, I looked at it this morning, and I can't remember, but it hadn't been in the last couple, 3 years.
Yeah, so it's just...
I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
Yeah. So
he really is. You're right. He's hungry. He needs to win. So
he considers that his home track, so, you know, it's one of those things where... he's won twice there. In fact, he became the youngest... ever winner in the NASCAR Cup Series at 19 when he won at New Hampshire in 2009, and then he won again in 2014. But you're right, he hasn't won in 11 years at that track. But it's his home track. He does have a couple of wins. He needs a win. I don't know where he's at in points, but he's near the bottom of the 12, I think. I'll play that hunch, and you've got the guy who's red hot and is the favorite. So we'll see how it works out.
Well, I hope it works out in my favor, but if not, you know, weren't you really pulling for Brad Keselowski?
I wanted to see him win, and when he got to the bumper, I'm not going to lie to you, I was, you know, not to hurt Bell, but I was saying to myself, wreck him.
I thought the same thing. Take him out.
Yeah. But he squared up the bumper, and he gave, you know, I think you're right. He did it the right way. He squared him up so that he gave him a chance to hold the car in place, but bumped him hard enough that you know, if he had made a mistake, he could have swerved and Brad K could have gotten by. But give Bell credit. He held it and got the win. But, yeah, I was hoping that Brad would send him up the track and get the W. And I bet you had he been in the playoffs, that he would have. That's my feeling.
I think that's a very good point. And had Bell not been in the playoffs,
yeah,
he might have hooked him in too.
But with Bell being in the playoffs and him not in the playoffs, I think he said, you know what, I don't want to take a guy out who's in the playoffs battling for a championship, and I'm not in the playoffs, and I'm gonna get to the bumper and I'm gonna bump him, but I'm not gonna necessarily purposely wreck him. So it worked out. But that's the thing we're reminded of again. I mean, You've got your playoff drivers, but you got other guys out there too that need wins. So, you know, there's no rule against a non-playoff driver winning the race. So that's always a factor. I think, you know, when we're doing this handicap, and I think we're always looking at the playoff drivers, and it starts with them, you know. But there's other guys on some of these tracks. I mean, you know, Keselowski wants a win. Kyle Busch wants a win. I mean, those guys are probably desperate. I mean, it's amazing that neither one of those guys has won a race, and I can't tell you when the last time they won a race category.
Well, and we talk about every week, one of these races, Carson Hocevar is going to come up there and win one.
Yeah, he is. He's close. He's knocking on the door. He's young. He's aggressive, and he's not afraid to do what he has to do to win one, and he's trying to make a name for himself. So it wouldn't shock me at all if he's a factor in these races going forward. Hey, let me ask you this: I was listening to NASCAR radio in my vehicle driving down the road the other day, and it was that show with Larry McReynolds and I can't even tell you the female reporter's name, but they were talking about the angst and the controversy again about the playoffs, and saying that they are considering changing the playoff format again. And I didn't get all the details, but have you heard that they may tweak it again after this season?
I have heard that. I also saw something as I was messing around, not NASCAR radio, but some website. Mark Martin is he wants it to go back to the old school. Remember that?
What was that format?
Well, that format was there wasn't a playoff, first of all. And it just, you got points per race, and it's the end of the season.
Added them up.
That most points won.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Well,
if that were to tweak it, how would you do it?
I don't know. I mean, I've told you before, I regardless of the system, there's going to be people that don't like it. I mean, I think there's a battle between rewarding consistency in performance and also wins. You know, I think that winning is what the ultimate goal is of these drivers. So, you know, I've struggled before when we've seen a guy that had, you know, like five wins or whatever, and it doesn't make it to the final four. And you got a guy that might have one win that's in the final four. So at the same time, you know, if you win a race and then you have a DNF and then you have a finish 33rd and then you have a finish 28, and, you know, versus a guy who had, you know, had a fourth place and a sixth place and a third place. And, you know, there's that battle between how much does winning mean versus just guys that are consistently good. There's no perfect system. I know that.
No, and I think this one could use a little bit of tweaking, but seems to me like the old way, like Mark Martin's talking about, did reward drivers for consistency. And this one, you know, you just win a couple of races and you're in the final four.
Yeah, that's right. Time it out right. Well, look at Logano last year. I mean, he got lucky to get in, and then he won the championship.
Oh, he got real lucky to get in. My goodness gracious. But, yeah. And I don't know how NASCAR will view it. They have so many different things to think about. The sponsors, the number of races, the night races, the TV money. It just goes all the way around. Who knows? They'll never make it happen. Just like nobody's going to be happy with the national championship in college football. But they keep working and we keep watching.
That's right. Hey, man, listen, this is it's like every sport. The playoffs are the best time of the season, and now we're down to 12 and three races, and we'll cut it down to 8 and then down to 4. And one thing I do like about next year is they're going back to Miami Homestead for the final race. Nothing against Phoenix, but I like Miami Homestead as the final race for the championship, and next year it's back there.
You're not the only one. The drivers love that track, too. I mean, they absolutely love it. So I'm glad to see it going back there, too.
All right, Matt, football-wise, of course, you're on the pregame and postgame shows here on Tide and the Bear for Alabama football. Bye week. I was asking Chase, I'll get your opinion. I mean, we wait so long for football, and then only three games in, and you have a bye. But I already sense that coaches, players, and even the fans are happy to have a bye. It's been a stressful start to the season, and now kind of hit the reset button and get ready to go to Athens next week.
Yeah, the reset button on Keenan and Jam Miller, that's a really good thing. And I do not like early season buys. But now that they got two, what the heck? Let them get all healed up, focused again.
All right, brother. Good stuff.
All right. Sorry, I've been a little distracted. I've been driving at the same time. So, all is good. Roll Tide, Gary.
Thank you, Matt. 9:48 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa has two branches. I go to the downtown branch, 2300 13th Street. And, in fact, I'm scheduled to go today after my radio show. Great facility, great staff, great members. Just a really fun place to work out and hang out and meet people. And, you know, get your workout on. Get by and see them. Or you can find out more at ymcatuscaloosa.org. Or call 205-345-9622 and tell them you want to come by, and they'll show you around, show you the facility, talk to you about a membership. And remember, Silver Sneakers program is available as well for you seniors, so that'll save you some money. All right, we'll be back with one final segment here in the first hour. 205-342-9904 is the number on the Storage Center hotline if you want to call in. And as I said, no Alabama this weekend, but a lot of big SEC games, and I'll run down the schedule for you next.
With Ryan Fowler.
On the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk to Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We're going to go to Atlanta, and we're going to talk to former Alabama offensive lineman. He was an All-American for the University of Alabama. We'll talk to Mike Johnson about this big Alabama-Georgia game from his perspective right here, starting at 2 p.m. on Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa.
Who put everything on the line for us.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans.
Patios, outdoor living spaces, and more. Let the professionals at Hudco Landscape and irrigation do those projects around your home or business. HudcoLandscape.com.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com. Game day traffic reports to get you to Bryant Denny Stadium. Live reports from our Bama Beat reporter, Wyatt Fulton. Game day picks from the top games. And this year, special insight each week from Roll Tide Willie. The Tide Tailgate Show originates live from Grandstand in Tuscaloosa's Timberson Square. Come sip beverages or grab a bite before or after the game. The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Two Dimes Tuscaloosa, and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partially sunny today. The chance of a few isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 91. The low tonight, 68. Tomorrow and Friday, the sky mostly sunny both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 73 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to The Gary Harris Show.
Goal line!
Left to provide.
Michael McDonald on This Is It because their voices are so distinctly different and they came together. Kenny Loggins did a lot of collaborations. Michael McDonald, Steve Perry, Stevie Nicks. Kenny Loggins was a really talented vocalist. I mean, really top notch. All right, Bama on bye this week. In fact, the SEC schedule only has, let's see, one, two. I just think there's a third in there, but I only see two games that are SEC versus SEC. You've got Auburn and Oklahoma, and you got South Carolina and Missouri. Okay. All the other games, and you got a lot, you know, number of teams on bye. A lot of the other games are non-conference games. Arkansas at Memphis, UAB in Knoxville to take on Tennessee, Tulane at Ole Miss. Tulane's pretty good. Northern Illinois at Mississippi State. Bulldogs look to go to 4-0. How about that? Florida at Miami. Oh gosh, boy, it's going bad for Florida. It could get worse. Georgia State at Vanderbilt. Southeast Louisiana at LSU and Sam Houston at Texas. Texas is kind of unique that they're playing, Chase, all of their non-conference games to start the season, four in a row. And then they'll play nothing but SEC games the rest of the way. But Texas lost at Ohio State. They've played directional school from their state. They played San Antonio, UTSA. Then they played, who did they play this past weekend? Another Texas directional school that they struggled with.
UTSA. That was last weekend.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I thought they played, you're right. It was UTEP.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Let me get straight here on Texas, because I've got myself confused. They lost to Ohio State, then they played San Jose State and did not play great in that game, and then they played really poor against UTEP. So just one school from Texas. But now they play Sam Houston, another school from Texas. So they're going to be 3-1 when they get into SEC play. But you really wonder about this team and Arch Manning, because he's just he's struggled. So, but that's your SEC schedule. So it's not the best schedule, but I am looking forward to that Auburn and Oklahoma game. I mean, I think that's going to be a doozy. And the winner of that game, all of a sudden, really legitimately starts thinking college football playoff. That's a huge game. That's the 2:30 ABC game. That's one worth watching right there. And the other games are interesting, too. And then that night, of course, South Carolina at Missouri, another SEC. But the rest of the games are non-conference games. But still, two marquee SEC games on Saturday. All right, that's going to wrap it up for hour number one of the Gary Harris Show. It's been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. Hour number two, we'll get it started with Brody Smoot talking Alabama football and basketball. And also Larry the Music Man at 10:30. Second hour of the Gary Harris Show is on the way.
Studios in Los Angeles. Here's Steve DeSager.
The Seattle Mariners won their 10th game in a row, 12-5 at Kansas City. Cal Raleigh with two more homers. He has 56 this year, most ever by a switch hitter. The Mariners are first in the AL West, still a half game over Houston, which held off Texas 6-5. In the NL West, the Dodgers still two games over the Padres. San Diego was beaten 8-3 at the Mets. Philadelphia beat the Dodgers on a three-run homer, top of the ninth, 9-6. Starting pitcher for LA, Shohei Ohtani hit his 50th homer. He also pitched five no-hit innings, but the LA bullpen then allowed six runs in the sixth. Arizona with a run bottom of the ninth, edged San Francisco 6-5. Wins for Toronto and the Yankees. Cleveland won in 10 innings. Victories for the Brewers and the Cubs. Minnesota Vikings running back Aaron.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Back into the Gary Harris Show, hour number two, right here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC for this Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. This hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you by Patterson Law Firm in Tuscaloosa. No recovery, no fee. Call 205-345-1000. Free consultation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And remember, when you call 205-345-1000, you'll never get a call center. You'll get a real attorney right here in West Alabama. That's the difference. Living and working in Tuscaloosa matters. If you need a personal injury attorney, Paul Patterson and North Patterson are here for you when you need us most. I like that local aspect of their law firm. Find out more at PattersonLawPC.com. That's PattersonLawPC.com. Patterson Law Firm, here for when you need us.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of services performed by other lawyers.
All right, we're going to start off this second hour with a special guest on the Storage Center Hotline, a guy that has been with us before, and Brody Smoot has really been moving up in terms of his coverage. He's has the Crimson Coverage site. It's excellent. Follow them on Twitter, at Crimson Coverage, and get more information for excellent Alabama football and basketball coverage. Good morning, Brody. How are you?
I'm doing well, Gary. Glad to be on the show today.
Good to have you. Let's start with football, and let's start with what's transpired so far. I have been talking a lot about the way this season is broken down. I love the fact that if you're going to play 12 weeks and the chance to play as many as 17 games, that you have a double bye. Alabama plays three, the bye, plays five, the bye, and then plays four. Three games doesn't seem like very many for a bye, but I feel like this one, with the trip coming to Athens next week, is coming at a perfect time. Would you agree?
Yes, sir, I definitely agree. You know, the way that the season's gone thus far, you know, the few injuries that Alabama has had, but ones that are very significant, I think that it couldn't come at a better time. You know, going on the road and playing a very good Georgia team, you know, that just proved that they could go on the road and beat Tennessee, who I think is a top 10, top 15 caliber football team. I think it's needed, you know, to be able to get things right and you know, you got 2 weeks to prepare for a good Georgia team, and, you know, they got 2 weeks to prepare for us. So, you know, whoever the best team is should be able to win the game, especially given 2 weeks of preparation, in my opinion.
I'm with you. And, boy, there's going to be so much hype for that game next week. And but Brody, the reality of it is, with where Alabama's at, having lost that opener in Tallahassee, you know, if you lose – And Georgia, you know, you're not going to shut the season down. You're going to go play the rest of them. And there's, you know, there's no saying that, you know, you can't come back and win them all after that. But this is a pivotal game for Alabama. If you win it, man, think about where you're at. You're 3-1. You're 1-0 in the SEC. You got a ton of momentum. You're moving up in the polls. You lose this game, 2-2, 0-1 in the SEC. I mean, you're running uphill. I mean, this is a very pivotal game for Alabama, more so than for Georgia, since Georgia's 3-0 and already has a win in the SEC. Would you agree?
Yes, I definitely agree. You know, like you were saying, it's you go 2-2 through those first four games, and it's it's an uphill climb, you know. It's a tough stretch, and it doesn't get any easier. You know, I'm not sure. You know, I think that Georgia's a very good football team, but, you know, you got LSU, you know, you got Vanderbilt, who's a very good football team. Auburn's proven that, you know, they got a – I think they have a better football team than they did a season ago. So, you know, this is a big game, and one that I think Alabama definitely – you know, needs to take full advantage of. You know, going on the road and securing a road victory against Georgia would be monumental. You know, and I think they'll be prepared for it. And you know, we'll see what the outcome is. But you know, like you said, it's one that they definitely got to, you know, they got to take care of business next weekend against a good Georgia team.
The anticipation, Brody, is that Alabama will get Jam Miller back on offense and Tim Keenan back on defense. How big will that be for the Tide?
Oh, that's going to be huge. You know, especially with Tim Keenan, you know, a guy that can, you know, play the interior of the defensive line, you know, in past years and even this year as well. Georgia's been a team that's shown that they can run the football. You know, that they have a running quarterback. They have various different running backs that can tote the rock. And, you know, that's something that they're always going to do over there, you know, especially being led by Mike Bobo. You know, Tim Keenan's a veteran. You know, you've seen the videos of him over there by Coach DeBoer, you know, getting him hyped up, getting the team hyped up. He's a captain. You know, he's an Alabama guy through and through. So, you know, being able to have him back, his leadership, his play, you know, I definitely think that'll be huge along the defensive line and for the defense as a whole. And then, you know, like you said, Jam Miller, too. You know, him coming back is also huge. He's another guy, experienced guy, got a year of starting experience under his belt. You know, expect a lot of good things from him, you know, and him being able to come back, you know, it only adds depth. You know, I think him and Kevin Riley, I think we've seen that those are going to be the, you know, the one that's going to be the 1-2 punch. So I think it's a good combination. You know, he's got power, he's got burst, and then you got Riley's catching ability out of the backfield, and you know, he's a little nifty back as well. So you know, I think it's definitely a boost for Alabama and something that'll pay dividends, you know, especially in the Georgia game. It should only solidify their chances of taking down the dogs in the hedges.
Yeah, they need to get the running game going. But Ty Simpson has been spectacular. I thought even in the Florida State game, and I said this, Brody, you know, he and Jeremy Bernard were the bright spots on offense. And I didn't think he played great against the Seminoles, but he played better than most. But these last two games, and granted, I take into account the competition in the Monroe game, but to carve up Wisconsin like he did, which is a pretty good defensive team for the Big Ten, he's been impressive.
No, he's definitely been nothing short of impressive these last two games. And, you know, at times he looked very good, you know, to start off, obviously, against Florida State. But we saw some bright spots in that game. And you know, he's only elevated his performance these past two games. You know, the thing that stands out to me, Gary, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people have seen, you know, the stats and stuff as well, but the fact that he hasn't turned the football over. You know, oftentimes if you don't turn the football over, you got a good chance to win. And when you got a defense like Alabama has or what they're capable of accomplishing at full health, you know, you put your team in a good position to win. You know, during the summer when we spoke, you know, I said if Ty has a similar season or performs in a similar manner to former Alabama quarterback Mac Jones, that was my comparison, then I think Alabama has a good chance. And you know, I feel like Alabama's receiving corps is very similar to that team. You know, you had a three-headed monster that year, you know, with Smitty, Waddle, and Henry Ruggs. And then, you know, you got Horton, Bernard, and Williams. And like you said, him and Bernard have already got a strong connection, you know, there. And he's just a guy that makes sound decisions. You know, he doesn't make a whole lot of bad decisions, and he's proven that he can – evade pressure, something that a lot of people were kind of skeptical about. But you know, he's proven that the past 2 weeks that he can do, you know, he can do that, and you know, he can beat good competition, because like you said, usually Maryland has a good defense, and they definitely had a promising defensive line last week. You know, with Alabama's inability to run the football, you know, he was able to spread it out to his playmakers at the wide receiver position, and you know, he looked very, very good. So, you know, giving him 2 weeks to prepare, you know, I think he'll be fully ready to take advantage of the opportunity. And, you know, especially, you know, there's going to be a lot of talk about how Gunnar Stockton's played and how great he played. So, you know, I think he'll definitely use that to his advantage. And I think he'll be ready for the Georgia game and continue to elevate his level of performance as the season progresses.
Brody Smoove from Crimson Coverage on with us, talking Alabama football. We're going to get to Bama basketball recruiting in just a moment. All right, three games, still relatively small sample size. Started off by laying an egg in Tallahassee. Have bounced back strong the last two games. Brody, what do you make of this Alabama team through three games? And you know, where do you think this team has the potential to go? Is this still a college football playoff caliber team, in your opinion?
Yes, sir. I definitely think this is a team, you know, that's learned a lot from week one. And, you know, I know it's a small sample size, like you said, but through the first three games, you know, obviously no one expected week one, but obviously the football team, nobody in the locker room even expected week one, you know, and I think you just take that with a grain of salt and you move forward. You know, the SEC is a gauntlet. It's going to be very, very difficult, but I definitely think if Alabama's at full health, you know, on both sides of the ball, or at least very close to it, I think this team has a chance to do some special things, you know. And who's to say that, you know, week one wasn't a fluke, you know, because now we see that Florida State's a top 10 caliber team. And, you know, it's very difficult to prepare for a team that has so many new faces, new coaches and stuff. And Florida State definitely had that, but you know, it won't get any easier down the stretch. But I think what this team showed last week is a lot of heart, and you know, a lot of fire, especially against Louisiana Monroe. Just the way they were flying through the football, the energy they had, the way they were hitting on defense, and then you know, Ty Simpson is hitting his stride, you know, and he's been merely flawless the past two games. So you got a confident quarterback. You know, your offense is improving in terms of putting up points in production, getting Ryan Williams back healthy. You know, Jaden Roberts back in the lineup. And then, you know, on defense, you got Latham hopefully coming back, Keenan coming back. You know, if you can get near full health and you know, get your guys to do their thing and get rolling here, you know, I think that this team, you know, a few good wins will give them momentum, and you know, hopefully, you know, this team is able to make the playoffs. But I definitely think that they're capable of it, and we'll just have to see, wait and see what transpires the rest of the way, I guess.
What's your opinion on this offensive line? I mean, they're still tweaking it a little bit. They're playing seven guys. But it looks like Jaden Roberts is rounding back into form. Michael Carroll is starting to split time with Wilkin Formby at right tackle. What have you seen from the O-line so far?
You know, I see a unit that's very experienced, but has flaws for sure. You know, coming in, I thought that this would be, you know, one of the strengths, honestly. You know, obviously you're anchored by Caden Proctor over there at left tackle, and you know, week one, we saw him struggle tremendously. And then, like you said, you know, the whole rotating, especially on the right side, is something that I think was ended up being very beneficial for Alabama. You know, I didn't think that, you know, anybody necessarily earned their starting spot through the first two games on that right side, given how they played. You know, just there's been a lot of discrepancies in the run game, and so, you know, obviously you want to have somebody that can run block, and Jaden Roberts is one of those guys that, you know, just watching film these past 2 weeks, he's been a guy that's performed really well. He's made several key blocks, opened up some holes and stuff, and he's a veteran. You know, and then you know, you got him working beside a guy like Michael Carroll or Wilkin Formby. You know, he played beside both of them in the Wisconsin game. But, you know, I've seen a lot of good things from Formby from a season ago. And then, you know, obviously you got a guy like Carroll as competition. You know, that's something that only should make Alabama fans feel even better. But, you know, I definitely think there's room for improvement, you know, from week one to week three. I think they've made, you know, pretty good improvement and can hopefully continue to enhance their performance, you know, moving down the stretch. But also left guard, you know, you got Cam Dewberry. I saw where they moved Vandermark to left guard during the Wisconsin game. So just a lot of mixing around. You know, I think they're just trying to find who's comfortable in what spot and what works, what lineup works best for Alabama moving forward. But, you know, they had 3 weeks, and then they'll have these 2 weeks, you know, to get that that rotation solidified. But it's definitely a unit that's a work in progress, I would say, here.
One thing we know is that, as you said, getting Jam Miller back, this running game needs to go up a notch. Offensive line's a big part of that. But Ty Simpson playing the way he's playing and the weapons that they have in the passing game. And then you integrate Ryan Williams back into the lineup after sitting out a game with a concussion, and he was fabulous. 5 catches, 165 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did drop a ball, drop a touchdown. But and Jeremy Bernard might be as consistent a wide receiver as there is in the country. Isaiah Horton's a big target. You've got Brooks. You've got Scott. I mean, the weapons on this offense are impressive. I mean, this is an offense. They hung 73 on Monroe, came back with 38 against Wisconsin. Probably should have had more points than that. I mean, they've got a chance to score the ball just against, you know, any defense that they play, don't you think?
Oh, yes, sir, definitely. You know, this is a team that can score at will. And you know, like you said, you know, you got a small sample size of what this offense is capable of doing. You know, you mentioned the weapons, you know, at wide receiver and the way that Ty Simpson distributes the ball. You know, I think that Jeremy Bernard said it best the other day on the next round. You know, he said, you can't guard, you know, you can't double cover one of us because you're leaving the other one vulnerable. Or, I mean, you're going to be vulnerable leaving the other guy on an island. So, you know, I think it's going to be very difficult for a lot of secondaries to, you know, scheme and you know, think about what they're going to do against our receiving core, because they've, you know, if you can clean up the drops, you know, this could be one of the best receiving cores that Alabama's had from top to bottom. You know, you got guys, you know, like you said, you know, Scott and Brooks, you know, that provide depth, but we haven't seen a whole lot of Hale and Adams. And, you know, I'm not sure that we will, you know, during conference play, but, you know, that's additional depth. So there's just a lot of depth and versatility at that position. And then, you know, we've seen good signs from Caleb Edwards and Josh Playbus at the tight end position as well. You know, Danny Lewis, hopefully he's coming back from injury here pretty soon. Don't know what the deal is there. Totally yet, but you know, like you said, I think that this offense is headed in the right direction, and the more cohesive and the more, I guess, developed that they are over the course of the season, I think they'll only continue to get better from there.
And defensively, I mean, whether he likes it or not, and he's dealt with it, Bray Hubbard kind of became the poster boy for that opening game loss at Florida State with that play across the field where he wasn't hustling and Florida State went down the left sideline for a tackle. That kind of just epitomized that entire game. But, boy, he's bounced back strong. And the game he had against Wisconsin was dynamic with 2 interceptions. This defense, I still worry. I'm not going to lie to you, Brody. I still worry about it going up against SEC offensive lines and whether this defensive line can hold up in the trenches. But they are swarming to the football. I also worry about backside contain. They have a bad tendency to all 11 guys to chase the ball, and I worry about misdirections, reverses, things like that. But defensively, what do you think of this unit, and are they good enough on defense to be a championship caliber team?
You know, I think that I know for a fact that the talent is there, you know, but like you said, they have some tendencies that that definitely need to be cleaned up. You know, like you said, all 11 guys going to the football, you see that angles of pursuit and stuff. This team's had an issue with, and it's been, you know, several years coming. But, you know, I also worry about, you know, the defensive line play, the play in the trenches, you know, in particular that front four, you know, being able to get a pass rush and apply pressure on these quarterbacks, you know, because if they're not able to do that, the quarterback's going to pick you apart. And, you know, that's what we saw in week one with Castellanos with the limited pressure that Alabama had in that game. So, you know, you're only going to see better quarterbacks as the season progresses. And, you know, I think that Alabama is fully equipped from a talent standpoint. They've just got to go out there and prove it. You know, and like you said, Bray Hubbard has played sensational, you know, these past 2 weeks, and definitely elevated his level of play. And you know, the secondaries, I think it's one of the best in the country. And the past 2 weeks, they've looked very well. I mean, they look very good, pardon me. But, you know, if this defense is able to create some turnovers and apply some pressure, you know, I think that this is are going to be arguably one of the best defenses in the country. But, you know, like you said, it all starts up front. And if you're unable to generate any pressure, you know, and you're unable to stop the run, kind of like we did in week one, you know, it's going to be a long stretch. But I guess we'll see how things progress, you know, moving forward.
All right, we've gone way over, Brody, but I do want you to touch on basketball recruiting. Two great commits already in 2026, Terrace Bowie and Chris Washington Jr. This past weekend, Caleb Holt, Dylan Mingo, and Jax Richardson all in. This coming weekend, Cole Clore and Darius Ratliff and Adonis Ratliff, the 6'11 twin post players, whose father is Theo Ratliff, former Demopolis High in Wyoming and NBA star. So this basketball recruiting just will not slow down with Nate Oates and Preston Murphy. I mean, they're recruiting at an elite level.
Oh, they definitely are. You know, I think I said something the other day, you know, talking about how active, you know, Murphy and Coach Oates are on the recruiting trail, and they have been in past years, but it just seems like they're, you know, they're even more active in this cycle. And then, like you said, you got two commits in Bowie and Washington Jr., but, you know, you brought in Mingo. I think you got a very good chance to get Holt. I think Jackson Richardson, you know, I think you got a good chance there. You know, his brother really liked Alabama when he was coming out of high school as well, ended up going to Michigan State and doing really well. So, you know, and then, like you said, the Ratliff twins, the fact that Theo's an Alabama native, was coached by a former Alabama assistant in the NBA. You know, I think there's some good connections, and I definitely think that this class is going to end up in the top five for sure. But we'll just see where they end up heading. But, you know, I think this class has four or five guys in it, and they're all, you know, I guess I would say blue chip, you know, basketball players, recruits.
Great stuff, Brody. Really good update. And fill the listeners in on where they can find you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you letting me on. You guys can find me at Crimson Coverage on X. Got some stuff probably coming here pretty soon on YouTube, and then obviously on Facebook, and then TikTok. Got a lot of stuff going on over there, so that's where you guys can find me.
All right, thank you, Brody.
Yes, sir, thank you.
All right, fun stuff. All right, we got to get to the break. We're going to come back, get back on time, and then let me pull down my phone here, and then we'll come back with Larry the Music Man here in a couple of minutes. So let's get to the break. We'll come right back.
Now, this hour is West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Here are the headlines from TuscaloosaThread.com, brought to you by Tuscaloosa Mazda. The Word Academy daycare in Northport is being investigated after allegations of physical abuse of children by a teacher. October 14th is the court date set for a hearing on the $59 million lawsuit filed against the citizens of Northport by developers of the controversial University Beach Resort. Estate Pardons and Paroles Director Cam Ward opposes the suggestion to allow the state to manage manage housing for released inmates.
I think that's a mistake. We're built for certain things. We're not meant to be landlords.
The idea is to help reduce Alabama's high recidivism rate. At Tuscaloosa Mazda, we're expanding to serve you better. Come see our new and pre-owned Mazda lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyline Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for the latest West Alabama news, sports, and weather. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after hours.
MRIs and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partially sunny today. The chance of a few isolated showers this afternoon or this evening. The high today, 91. The low tonight, 68. Tomorrow and Friday, the sky mostly sunny both days. Highs between 90 and 93. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 81 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
All right, 10:30. Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show. And I went way over in our interview with Brody Spoot, but that was such good information. I wanted to make sure we got it all in. So we got to get back on time. So welcome back in. And we're going to come back on the other side of this break with my man, Larry the Music Man, talking about your top favorite R&B and soul male vocalists of the 1970s. I got my list, man. There's some talent there. We want to hear from you. 205-342-9904 is the number. So we'll be back with Larry the Music Man. Stay tuned here on the Gary Harris Show.
The Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9. And
in the sweet sounds of Marvin Gaye brings us back into this segment with Larry the Music Man, because we're going to be picking your favorite R&B and soul male vocalist from the 1970s. It's hard to imagine Marvin Gaye won't be on most people's list, but there are some other great singers as well. What we're going to do, since we're starting out a little bit late, we're just going to go straight through. We're not going to have a break in this segment. We're going to run it up to about 10:55, 10:56, and then Chase is going to double up the breaks at the end. So we'll be going nonstop. So let me welcome in Larry the Music Man, if I can get my mouse moved over here. Good morning, Larry.
Gary, good morning. Glad to be back. That, you know, that song still gives me chills. That song was just so perfect for the time, the Vietnam, all the trouble in the country. And that album was the biggest selling album of the 70s in soul and R&B, What's Going On. So I thought that would be proper to leave that off, man. But, cherry picking this kind of music is hard to do, brother. An artist.
It is. And we've got callers lining up, 205-342-9904. If you want to get in on the conversation, go ahead and give us your five.
All right, let me a quick shout out to Ellis from Manchester's birthday.
Happy birthday, Ellis.
His pick was Earth, Wind and Fire, Gout Band, KC and the Sunshine Band, the Commodores. I'm going to let him slide on one of the vocalists. On his vocalist, it was Aretha Franklin Al Green, and Jimi Hendrix. I thought that was a real interesting pick. I let him go with Aretha because it's his birthday.
Okay, Jimi Hendrix, yeah, but we're sticking with male vocalists for the most part because we can do a female vocalist at another time.
Yeah, so. I let him slide. Don't do the female, yeah, bro. Yeah, and a little music news real quick. Carrie Lane will be at Island View Casino tonight in Gulfport. She'll be there every Wednesday night through September. With full band, she'll be doing 70s, 80s, and 90s country. So check her out if you're over that way. So I'm ready, brother. Let it go. I mean, oh, my pick. Yeah. I'm sorry. All right. Marvin Gaye, Al Green, Michael Jackson, Sly Stone. My groups, Commodores, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the OJs.
Well, your list is very similar to mine.
I figured that. I knew where you were going on.
Well, on the artists, yeah, I'm starting with Al Green and Marvin Gaye. There's no doubt about that. But I'm going to add one in that just for the excitement level that he brought. And there are times that there were some songs that he did that I didn't really care for. But I love James Brown, just the electricity.
Oh, man.
The energy.
It was in my mind.
Yeah, yeah. And Sly Stone is one of mine, too. And then I'm going to give a fifth that and I love Michael Jackson. But I'm still going to, for me, Michael Jackson, I know he was with the Jackson 5, and I still think of him more as the 80s. How about Ray Charles?
Well, you're going to be surprised now. If Robbie Glenn don't call in, I have his list, and I'll leave it at that. But Michael Jackson, that Wall album, was 78 or 9.
I know he was 70s.
I love that album, man.
Yeah, in fact, there's really probably more stuff from the 70s, but since he's also such a major factor in the 80s, I didn't want to waste a 70s pick on him when there's, and listen, you know, the others that didn't get listed, I mean, I guess we'll let everybody get in here. But, man, it was, like you said, there's so many. I mean, you know, you got to think about Barry White, too. You know, you got to think about Teddy Pendergrass.
He was on my mind. That's what I mean. Yeah. What do? It's just you feel guilty. You say, oh, I left out Bill Withers. Yeah. He was on my mind.
Yeah, you know, Philip Bailey, you know, Lionel Richie. Of course, again, you're talking about bands and band-wise. You know, I'm thinking kind of like everybody is, man. Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Jackson 5.
Earth, Wind, and Fire, man.
Cooling Gang, the OJs, the Commodores, Sly and the Family Stone, the Gap Man, the Isley Brothers. It goes on and on, man. So it's crazy. But let's go ahead and start taking some calls, and we'll punch Bryce through, because I don't want to cut anybody off. Hey, Bryce.
All right. My vocalist is Al Green, James Brown, Ray Charles, and the Commodores, which was Richie.
Yeah.
You know, from Oakville.
Yeah. Good pick.
You know who I'm talking
good
about.
Good picks.
Yeah. Okay. And my groups are the Commodores. Was that five guys?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. KC and the Sunshine Band. Commodores, and the reason why I'm going to bring this guy up, Little Richie, because my friend played with him for 12 years.
I know who you're talking about. Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I like, man. Gary, that's a good pick. That's a wide open. A lot of versatility right there.
Yeah, well, Bryce has got a pretty eclectic.
Four tops.
Earth,
Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was my group pick. Yeah, if you can get Cowboy to pick like you do, Bryce, we'll get this thing rolling.
I think Cowboy's boycotting my show again. I think the
sheriff is. I think the sheriff is, too.
Yeah.
I think he got afraid because Cowboy came back.
I don't know what the deal is. I think Cowboy accuses me of being too soft on Alabama and DeBoer. So
well, you know I'm not. So, you know, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid to go to Athens and come back with a victory.
Yeah.
I told you about
Cowboy called last week, Gary. Remember, he missed Toy.
Yeah, that's true.
He called
in and said,
yeah.
That's true. So maybe we'll hear from him. But that's a good list, Bryce. Of course, I knew you'd have a good list. And
Thank you, Bryce.
Yeah, I had some more, but...
Well, rattle them off, man. I rattled off about 10. Go ahead. Bring it on.
We got Clarence Carter.
Oh, yeah. Patches.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, yeah. And I did say Otis Redding. Yeah. Otis Redding sitting on Dr.
For sure. And Clarence did slip away at Muscle Shoals.
Yeah, he sure did. I forgot all about that.
That's right.
Yeah. And would you count Jerry Lee Lewis in that deal?
You could count Jerry Lee and Elvis both, probably. The only thing on Otis Redding is he's one of the great singers of all time. He, with him passing away in 1967, I guess that's why I just didn't attack.
Well,
I know his music lived on.
We're holding him for the 60s, but yeah. That's a good choice.
But Otis Redding, if you're talking about great R&B and soul singers of all time, he's on anybody's list now. But,
well, he'll be there for me in the 60s.
Yeah, that's why I don't think he's getting mentioned much because he didn't live
I didn't realize it was that early.
He was only, but
it was pretty early, yeah.
Yeah, he was only 26 years old when he died in a plane crash. So, yeah, that's a shame because there's no telling what kind of music he would have had in the 70s. But that's a great list, Bryce.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
all right.
You.
All right, let's... punch Philip through. Go ahead, Philip.
Hey, I think I understood the assignment, but I may be off a little bit. But as far as the artist,
it's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
I've got Barry White, Al Green, Teddy Pendergrass, and Tom Jones should fit in there, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I
you
think
you can go that route.
You don't have to be. You don't have to be African American to be a soul and R&B singer. Like I said, I think Jerry Lewis.
I should have said that, Gary. I should have said that.
Yeah, Tom Jones, Elvis, they could all fit in. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, that's right. And as far as groups go, I tell you the main group that came to my mind as far as that bluesy rhythm and blues sound of back in those days, the main group that came to my mind to me was the Rolling Stones.
For real. You gotta say that. Hey, I could say Greg Allman, man. He was one of the most soulful white singers that's ever been. But Philip, you know Teddy, we talked about this. Teddy Pendergrass was in Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. He's the one that did If You Don't Know Me By Now that launched him in solo fame. Yeah, hey, that was a great band. They were in my extras, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
And he also had that great song, Wake Up Everybody. That was a great song.
That's about Marvin Gaye's Mercy, Mercy. It was an anthem. Wake Up Everybody. Yeah.
It was a true anthem. And I don't know. I'll tell you one. I don't know where he fits in. I don't really have him in any genre. And you guys may have him in a genre, but I don't. He's so all over the place. And that's Gil Scott-Heron.
Yeah. Philip, you always bring – I like what you bring, brother. You always go a little different route, but it fits right in. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You're right.
All right, now listen. We got to push Philip a little bit on Gil Scott-Heron. I mean, I know who he is. I mean, I know, I'm not going to say it was – But what genre does he fall into? I mean, is he really classic R&B or more fused jazz fusion? What is Gil Scott-Heron, Philip? I mean, I'm not as familiar with him as you are. What would you label him as a musician?
Well, he Larry mentioned the word just a minute ago, anthems.
Yeah,
he did a lot of anthems. And movement type songs.
Yeah, that's why I think they're almost like activist music, though. I guess is what I'm.
Somewhat, but they had a little bit of soulful sound to them a little bit, not just all jazz. But anyway, that's just an aside. But it just shows you where you can go with this.
Yeah, you're bringing. Because like I said, I'm not that. I know who he is, and that's about the. And like I said, jazz fusion and all that. But yeah, like we've said, Larry invites all types of musicians.
But, I'm going to stick with, man, to me, I just think of Teddy Pendergrass. He's just, his face comes to mind like an album cover, just etched in your brain when you talk about this kind of music.
Sweet singer,
He was amazing in that that car accident, and didn't, that didn't stop him.
Nope.
He was an amazing man.
He kept playing.
Hey, guys, great topic today, and look forward to the next one.
Thank you. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank y'all.
Thank you, Philip. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're going to go straight through. Not going to take a break. And so if you want to get through and, you know, your name is some of your top R&B male vocalists from the 70s, bands as well. And we got a call coming in. Let's go ahead and take Ragged Glory because he's been holding for a while, but I know he doesn't mind holding and listening. So we've let him hold through. But go ahead, Ragged Glory.
You know what? Thanks a lot for the memo, Larry.
I told you, brother. You heard me bad on the show.
Nope. It's okay. I had to come up with it on the fly.
We threw a wrench in your... again.
You threw a monkey wrench in my gearbox. Yes. Hey,
it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy.
It is. You get. It's, that's because, you know, I'm the number one caller, period.
You sound like that guy on America's. Bam and Nick. Go ahead, man.
I know. You know what? How dare you even compare me to him? But it's my fault for even saying what I did. Okay. On the fly, I had to come up with, and I had to filter out funk, jazz funk, and all that kind of stuff, which are some of the names you guys have been throwing around. So I decided to go back and say strictly R&B, maybe with a little bit of pop. But here are mine. I'm going to go with Lou Rawls, number one.
Ooh,
oh, man. You. Man, Lou Rawls, I'll tell you. I will go with Barry White, Teddy Pendergrass, Lionel Richie, and I'm going to go with Eddie Levert with the OJs. Man, I'm telling you, those are my five, and I can come up with other bands that you all are infusing into this topic, but when it comes down to heart and soul and R&B, yep, those are mine right now. Oh, I
good
forgot
picks.
Stevie Wonder.
Good picks.
All righty. Next up, love y'all. Okay. Rock and roll.
Well, thank you, Ragged Glory. He broke it down and got his picks in. And yeah, Stevie Wonder, another iconic musician. All right, John T's next up. Go ahead, John T.
Hey, good morning. I'm gonna start off with the just the artist, of course, Al Green. Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, I could go on and on. Bands, I'm gonna go a little off kilter here. I'm gonna say a little George Clinton and Parliament.
Hey,
ooh, I thought about them.
Sly and the Family Stone, the OJs, Jackson 5. I'll just end it at that right there. I can keep going on and on because that's what kind of music I was growing up on when I first started really learning to listen to music in the early 70s.
Good picks, brother. You know, John T, that it's hard to pick to narrow it down because there's 20 more we could sit here and discuss for an hour and be right in there. But I try to make it this way where it'll make you think more. And I thought of Parliament. You got to think of George, you know, man, what they did for funk. But let me ask you something, John T. You remember a guy named the White Knight? His name was Wayne Cochran.
It's not ringing a bell.
I want everybody to check him out. He's called the White Knight. He was one of the greatest white soul singers ever. He was doing James Brown. Mimicking him on stage about the time James Brown was big in the 60s. He wrote a song called Last Kiss that Pearl Jam later, well, he wrote it, but another group made it big, and then Pearl Jam made it real big, Gary. You probably remember.
Well, let me add in a quick Wayne Cochran story. Because I'm very familiar with him because he was a white soul singer. He had a and he is prominently featured in a Joe Namath movie. If you've never seen this movie, you need to watch it. It was Joe Namath was a biker in the movie, and I'm trying to think of the name of the movie, but he is in Las Vegas for part of that movie with Ann Margaret, who was his girlfriend in the film, and they go to a casino, and Wayne Cochran and the CC Riders are performing in that movie, and they absolutely rock it out. I think the movie was CC and Company to begin with.
It was CC and Company. Yeah.
But he has, you know, he later became a preacher, but a lot of people called him the white James Brown, and that's probably fair. Great. John T, if you've never checked out Wayne Cochran, check it out, man. This guy could sing, and he could dance, and he could, the movie was CC and Company. In 1970, and I can't
he
turn you loose.
He had James Brown mood, Gary, even right at the time James came out. He was a natural, man. Yeah. And that band.
Oh, they could go. And the song they performed in that movie was an Otis Redding song. I Can't Turn You Loose was the song they performed. But you're right. Last Kiss was popularized by Pearl Jam, but he wrote that song. Yeah, great, 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 great artist, man.
Well, I'll definitely be checking that out. That's one of the reasons I enjoy listening to this. You always learn something, so that's kind of cool. I appreciate it.
Thank you, John T. Yeah, I'm glad he came up because you're right, Larry. He's a guy that a lot of people are not familiar with Wayne Cochran. And as I said, later in his life, because I've studied him, because I watched that movie when I was a kid, and because I was a huge Joe Namath fan, like most of us were, and I thought that was the coolest movie. You know, it opens up with Joe Namath going into a supermarket and going through the grocery shelves and making himself a sandwich and eating the sandwich. And then he gets some cupcakes and some milk, and he gets to the counter and he buys a stick of gum for 10 cents.
It was Joe Namath, the Easy Rider, the whole groove at that time.
You know?
And Frank Wilson did Last Kiss in 1964. That's how old that song is. I remember skating to that in the skating rink. Gary, I need to get Robbie's. I don't think he's going to be able to call. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Rob, you're going to be, some of his is pretty interesting. All right, this is Robbie's vocalist, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, Lionel Richie, Michael McDonald. I thought that was a great choice when Michael came with the Doobie Brothers.
He got a lot of soul, yep.
He sure did. His bands are Earth, Wind, and Fire. This is a good choice again. Doobie Brothers with Michael on and Cool in the Game. So he was, the Ray Charles was very interesting to me. You got to put Ray right there, country, R&B, jazz, whatever. So,
yeah, this has been fun. I'm you got me going on Wayne Cochran because I want people to try to find, if they can, on YouTube, check out CC and Company, which is the Joe Namath movie, and see if you can find that clip of he and Ann Margaret dancing while Wayne Cochran and the band are playing in that casino. And it is an absolutely, I'm going to try to see if I pull it up right now. Casino dance scene.
Gary, he was sidelined on my list, and I said, Philip and I had talked about it, and I said, I know when I say Wayne Cochran, I knew you knew, because association with Joe Namath, of course, but Wayne Cochran was an icon. I'm telling you, man, for a white soul singer, he's going to be in my top five.
Well, listen, I just found that scene. If you go to YouTube and you just type in Wayne Cochran and the CC Riders, or you type in Joe Namath and Margaret Casino Dance Scene, CC and Company, that very scene that I'm talking about, and I don't have any audio on this computer, but you've got Wayne Cochran and the CC Riders up there absolutely jamming. And he's doing all the moves that he's got. He's got the headband on around that long white hair. And Joe Namath and Ann Margaret are rocking it on the dance floor. It's a heck of a scene. So, yeah, I want people to check that out.
I'm going to have to watch that movie again.
Yeah, you're going to have to check that out. So, well, Larry, we're up against it. But Great stuff, man. And yeah, I'm glad Wayne Cochran came up, because what a phenomenal artist. I know I'm just beating a dead horse here, but I never expected to hear his.
Right. Everybody needs to check him out and listen to him. Yeah. The guy deserves his due.
Yeah, I forgot all about him. I hadn't thought about him in years until his name came up on this show. And then this scene with he and Joe Namath and Ann Margaret is an awesome scene. Hey, thank you, Larry.
Gary, thank you as always. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. All right, we got to go ahead and get out of here, because we got to double up these breaks. We got the Miller's Edge coming up next. And a reminder, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Catch me on TV tonight with the local sports on WVUA 23. For Chase Brumfield, I'm Gary Harris. This has been the Gary Harris Show. Have a great Thursday, or a great Wednesday, and a Thursday too. Be back in the morning. Talk to you tomorrow morning.